It's Cofield and Company.
What are the expectations for LeBron in L.A. now that he has Anthony Davis?
Well, I think their expectation is for him to deliver a championship. Back from the days of George Mikan to Wilt Chamberlain and Jerry West to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Magic Johnson, James Worthy to Shaq and Kobe to Kobe himself without Shaq. Every single marquee who has ever worn the purple and gold has delivered a championship.
Here's Steve Cofield.
Stephen A., along with a lot of folks out there, think the Lakers are now in the driver's seat, well, at least they're expected to be in the driver's seat to win the title. Massive trade over the weekend. Anthony Davis goes to the Lakers. Lakers trade basically all the young guys and a ton of picks. We're going to address how they can actually put a team together and more of the betting odds out there. There's some interesting numbers in terms of prop betting that have just been thrown up on boards around Las Vegas. It's Cofield, Chrissy, Adam Candy is in as the company. Big Five time.
Battle Born Injury Lawyers presents the Big Five at Five. Number five.
Gary Woodland?
Who?
Is that who it was? U.S. Open?
That is the U.S. Open champion.
It's a top 50 player, little known to most of us casual fans. I didn't see what the highest number was, but I saw 66-1. Woodland to win a U.S. Open before the tournament. That's a nice score.
I heard that it was out there at 80.
Woo!
At one point.
All right. Do you know his backstory?
I know he's from Kansas. I know he figured out pretty quickly he wasn't going to be a collegiate basketball player.
Yeah.
And then he became a golfer and turns out a pretty damn good one.
We're going to hit the basketball angle in the grab bag. Obviously, the focus. Well, I say obviously. There are so many golf fans who get completely pissed off that we talk Tiger Woods. You do understand the masses want to hear about Tiger Woods. Sorry. He fell short. And Brooks Koepka, to a certain extent. Right, who really leaked a bunch of oil down the stretch. But Tiger was one of the stories. Tiger wasn't great throughout the tournament. Scrambled down the stretch. Actually had a good final 12 holes. But he came into the tournament 10-12-1. Maybe the best you could find was 15 and never really competed.
So many points to make in here, but let's start with Tiger because in the end, it's all about Tiger. And the biggest thing that happened to golf this year, of course, was Tiger Woods winning the Masters. Tiger's back. Tiger's going to be in the majors. Nobody happier than TV executives that Tiger is back in the majors. Except Tiger didn't show. And this is about the worst outcome you could get. If you have the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach, the second most popular golf tournament of the year, at the most recognizable course in the U.S., the one you can get people to tune in for, and what do you get? You get Gary Woodland. By all accounts, a nice guy. Congratulations to Gary Woodland and his family. But come on, that's just the worst outcome you could ask for. I don't even know if I would say that Brooks Koepka leaked oil, to be honest. I think what happened was everyone's expectations got way juiced up by what happened on the first six holes when it looked like the member guest at Siena. Like, those scoring conditions for a U.S. Open are ridiculous. And the fact that the USGA conceded to players the way that they did by making this course easier than they have in the past
is ridiculous. It's
ridiculous. The U.S. Open is our championship. It is the people's championship. It is played on a public course for a reason. Golf is a sport we relate to because it's the only sport out there that we feel like we can walk onto the same playing field that the players are on and try to do the same things that they do. You can't do it in football, basketball, anywhere else. You can do it in golf. And we watch the pros get humbled at the U.S. Open and we say, you know what? It's hard for them too. And when you take that away and you turn it into a Wednesday Pro-Am, then you've lost the soul of what the U.S. Open is. I don't care if the players were complaining and saying they would boycott.
You got to listen to the players.
Oh,
yeah. The new generation.
The independent contractors.
Yeah. They get all angry.
Stop it.
Country club reared guys all complaining the course is too tough. Not all of them complain, but, you know. You don't want to make Jordan Spieth unhappy?
Garbage. Stop complaining about how hard the course is. It's 1 week a year. It is 1 week a year.
It should be impossible.
I don't care. Grow the rough to 7 inches. I don't care. But the point is, the U.S. Open is the tournament where we get to feel like we're connected to what's going on out there with the golfers, right? You see them hit an awful shot. It's the only time you see them consistently frustrated. And we took that away. So Brooks Koepka came down the backstretch and did exactly what he was supposed to do. He basically held serve, right? All my, I just used a racing metaphor and a tennis metaphor for a golfer. Fantastic work. Brooks Koepka just held the line. Pars, a bogey here or there. He did what you're supposed to do at a U.S. Open. A lot of times, that's enough to win. Give Gary Woodland credit. He went out there with that second shot on the par 5, 14th, said, I'm Gary Woodland. I have never had a chance to do this before. I have a shot to go after an eagle or a bird here. It's probably going to seal the thing. He took the shot. Good for him. But for golf, man, there just were so many things I didn't like this weekend, up to and including the Fox coverage.
Hey, what's your problem with the Fox coverage?
Oh, my goodness.
What's the problem?
There is no connection to the game in Fox coverage. There really isn't. Joe Buck, I think, I know, I'm waiting for you, Twitter. I like Joe Buck on football. I like Joe Buck on baseball. I can't get with it on golf. There's no connection. He doesn't know the backstory with the players. Basically, the notes that he's reading sound like the notes you could read out of the packet. He's not really setting up the analysts. It almost sounds like Fox's golf coverage got so pilloried in the first year that Joe Buck was basically trying to sit back this year and not do anything that was going to piss anybody off. Because what did they do on Friday? Did you see it on Friday? Did you see when they brought Jim Nantz into the studio? You're admitting the fact that there is someone doing it out there better than you by bringing Jim Nantz into the studio. Did you hear when we talk about the chip at 17, right? If you didn't see it, Gary Woodland hit the wrong part of the green at 17. And if he screws up this little chip, he might give away the U.S. Open Vandeveld style from the British Open. He makes a great chip. He saves par. We go through this whole discussion with Curtis Strange and Paul Azinger. What should he do? Should he do this? Well, I would do this. Well, I would do this. You know when we found out that Gary Woodland had actually hit the same chip 2 days ago? He had been in the same spot on the green and already hit the same shot from Gary Woodland in his post-tournament interview. You have a production team of 100 sitting over there, and nobody recognized he had already hit this shot? The one piece of context that could have made this broadcast that much better in the moment? I am not a disciple at the shrine of Johnny Miller. I don't believe that David Faraday is the best of the best.
Yeah.
But come on, you can do better. And Fox, if you want to bid the money, do better. Just do better.
So get rid of Joe Buck.
I don't think Joe Buck has to give up golf, but you can't bring him out once a year. You can't bring him out for one tournament a year and think that he's going to be as good as he is on football and baseball.
Number 4.
Big move over the weekend. Kind of got swallowed up by today with Erik Karlsson staying with the Sharks for $11.5 million a year. And, of course, the Anthony Davis trade. Yankees. Oh, the rich kid richer. You only hear that with the Yankees. Evil umpire. They had a guy who's got 21 homers, 49 ribs. In Encarnacion, they need some roster flexibility. This organization is deep. It's not as deep as the Astros, but it's freaking deep. And Clint Frazier, who came over from the Indians, was a number 4 pick in the draft back in, like, I think it was, 2013 or something, has been playing well. Well, he was sent down. And he gave a really muted interview when he got the information that he was being sent down. And in New York, when you do this, immediately people are like, he doesn't want to be here. Trade him. Here's Clint Frazier reacting to being sent down in spite of the fact that he's played well and has 11 home runs.
Clint, with how well you've swung the bat, were you surprised that this move was made this afternoon?
Yeah, pretty surprised.
What was the message Aaron Boone sent to you when he said you were heading down?
That this is the reality of things, you know? So I guess I'm facing reality right now.
Is that difficult to digest?
It's a tough pill to swallow. Yeah, I mean, it's never fun, especially with how much I felt like I've contributed to this team this year.
When they acquired Encarnacion, did you think that you could be a victim of the numbers game?
Not because of Encarnacion, but maybe because of Judge or Stanton.
So the reaction to that interview is why New York is New York and why we warn people all the time that if you're a sensitive soul, the media is in your face all the time. Like, I've heard national hosts, like, I think both Nick Wright and Colin Cowherd, he worked near New York, so I guess he got to deal with the New York media, but he's been in LA for a while now. Mm-hmm. I know Nick Wright went to Syracuse, but I don't know that he's ever worked in the New York market. Trying to downplay what the New York market is like. Newspapers may not be what they used to be, but there's still a million reporters in your face. And in the case of Clint Frazier, I don't think he really did anything wrong there. But they're always looking to stir up, you know what? So people are flipping and they want to, you know, move them, get some pitching. I don't know that the Yankees will do that. I don't think they're just going to pull the trigger on this guy and, you know, make a knee-jerk move. I will say on the flip side, Clint, you've been ripped on a little bit for the way you've handled the media. Be an adult. Speak up a little bit. Stop mumbling. Just say, you know what? I've gotten off to a good start. I'll go down. I'm going to do my work. Something will open up, and I can't wait to be back here. That's all you got to say. Stop at, you know, he's like 26 going on 13. Come on.
And the backstory is important here because his defense has been terrible despite the 11 home runs. And that's really where the beef with the media started a couple weeks ago. He kicked around a couple balls in the outfield. He didn't show up for the media after the game. And that started this adversarial relationship. There was a terrible interview. Well, I want to say maybe what, about a week and a half ago or so, where he kind of stood there and just took two questions and then stared at the media. And there was like this uncomfortable 10-second stare down between Clint Frazier and the media. So now we get into this situation where he gets sent down. What do you think his reaction is going to be? Here's the thing, I think. Being a cocky, brash kid has gotten him as far as it has. And so what do you expect him to say when you ask him that question, though?
Right.
He's going to be mad. He's going to be upset. Now, should he have just done the math on Stanton's coming back on Tuesday and so way to get one more day in the majors if he doesn't go for Encarnacion?
Right.
Like, that to me is the part where you say, all right, Clint, you knew you were going down one way or the other. So, but I don't mind the attitude. I feel like that's what got this sort of undersized kid to where he is.
If they trade him as a central piece in a deal, can they get Madison Bumgarner?
Because Madison Bumgarner is basically toting around a 4 ERA and a huge contract. Yeah, of course you can get him for Clint Frazier at this point. That might actually be an overpay for the Yankees.
Really?
Yeah. Madison Bumgarner is a mediocre pitcher in a great pitcher's park who is on the decline.
Top three stories.
Number three.
All right, Golden State's roster. You're running things. What do you do? I thought about this over the weekend, let it marinate. I said it on Thursday and Friday, and I'm even more solid on what I was saying. I'm not signing both Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson at max deals. Sorry. I'm not doing it.
I think Klay Thompson gets his deal. ACL injuries are very well documented.
And then last week I said, you know what, I'm first offering Klay Thompson the deal. And then we're going to see what happens with Kevin Durant, but I'm not offering Kevin Durant a max deal. Because then what sort of team are you building around these guys? And you're not going to be competitive next year?
Are you offering him anything beyond the option he already has?
Probably not.
You wouldn't give him 2 years beyond that?
No, I'm not. This whole, you know, loyalty thing, and I feel bad that he went out there, but sorry. I've said it 10 times now. What would Bill Belichick do? Do the Warriors think of him as Tom Brady? Because beyond that, Belichick would just be like, hey, bad break. You got the max deal from other people? Sorry, we can't make it work financially if we're paying you $220 million for 5 years.
Well, the calculus can't have changed that much for the Warriors because we've been spending the last 6 months talking about the fact that Kevin Durant wasn't going back. The Warriors clearly have prepared for the fact that Kevin Durant might not be back.
Mm-hmm.
So what changed? Nothing changed.
Well, now it's just become an emotional thing.
Right. Exactly.
And I hope Bob Myers crying at the press conference doesn't seep into the way they do. I mean, in a way, I kind of hope they do it because I think it's a terrible move to retain both at max, and I don't like the Warriors, so I don't think they'll be a championship-level team. Maybe a couple of years from now, you know, when Durant's back, I don't know how strong he's going to come back, but I wouldn't do it. You got to field a team around these guys. But yeah, if they're letting the emotion of that moment still linger a week later, bad move. Bad move. Top two stories.
Number two.
Well, speaking of bad moves, my favorite family, LeVar Ball and his Wunderkinds, Someone's not happy. We haven't heard from Lonzo yet, but Lonzo was part of the deal, sending all these Lakers down to New Orleans, and boy, LeVar came out strong when he found out about the deal on Saturday.
It'll be the worst move the Lakers ever did in their life, and they'll never win another championship. Guaranteed.
All right. Guaranteed. Is he right? You won't bet on them to win a championship. LeVar's right. Candy agrees with him. I'm going to put the words in your mouth. Now, of course, we're talking betting odds, so I guess at a certain point you could bet the Lakers to win a title if they were like 15-1. So I think you're grading most of it on value. All right, LeVar says they're never going to win a title. Then, of course, today, who wouldn't want to have LeVar Ball on a TV show? He's awesome. LeVar goes on with First Take. Stephen A. is there, and the fireworks begin to explode.
He does.
LeVar.
And it's
LeVar.
About knocking down shots when you're supposed to knock them down. Ain't no big deal. Look at that boy Van Fleet. Couldn't shoot to save his life. But now, at the end of this goddamn playoffs of the championship, he shoot the lights out. Look at that. Bang, bang.
Uh-oh. Chrissy, did you see the highlight they were playing? Apparently, LeVar either couldn't see the highlight or maybe looked down at the end of the highlight. What happened on the... Look at that. Bang, bang.
Bang, bang.
It was Lonzo from deep. Back rim.
He was just trying to... he was trying to, like, gauge what was going to happen next, thinking he already knew, and he did not, and... It wasn't the best, but that does not faze Mr. LeVar Ball.
No, he will not be stopped. And Abbott, what's dirty work are they trying to pull the First Take producers, you dirtbags? You put up a missed shot when our guy LeVar is waxing poetic? He was brilliant today. He was brilliant.
Cold.
Exactly what I wanted to do.
One of
the best teams he going to play on is New Orleans. Great. With him at the one, Aaron at the two, Ingram at the three, Zion at the four, Julius at the five. You get my boy them running teams like that, we're going to run loose.
Did you feel that way before they acquired Zion?
Oh, yes.
He wanted Lonzo to go to the Pelicans the entire time. He pulled a fast one on the Lakers. I believe him. Candy?
This is awesome.
What?
This is so awesome. Lonzo Ball, 2 years into the league, and his dad is still more famous than him. This is the best part of the whole thing. I want to know what other third-year NBA player is going to have his dad going on First Take next week. Seriously. Because we have so outlived the usefulness here. That's the best part of the whole thing. It's fantastic.
What are you talking about?
Look at you.
He's got another prodigy on the way, the number one pick next year.
He wasn't talking about LaMelo. He's talking about Lonzo. He's talking about putting the new curse on the Lakers.
I agree with him. If you give me a chance to play for a team that is going to be constructed by Rob Pelinka or one that's going to be constructed by David Griffin, LeVar's right. This is the move that the Ball family wanted the entire time. Their legacy... With Lonzo leading the way, and Zion too, with Lonzo leading the way, we'll be saving basketball for a city. You know any big baller brand sneakers and hats and T-shirts are going to sell now? Good job, LeVar, getting your son to where you wanted him. Lakers. Never appreciated the guy. Lakers.
It's perfect in a way. I mean, basically, he's going to become the Drew Brees of basketball in New Orleans, right? Zion is going to be his wingman.
No, you have that wrong, but I wouldn't be surprised if we saw, like, Lil Weezy walking around in some big baller brand. I mean, he's a famous New Orleansian.
Okay.
I don't know. I could also see Drew Brees leaning into this as well.
Chrissy is now a Pelicans fan.
Oh, absolutely.
She's all over this. She loves Zion. She loves LeVar. We're getting LeVar on some point this week. I know we are. He loves this show. Lonzo is now a Pelican. Now, LeVar was so brilliant on the show that even Stephen A. just started looking at him and, like, shaking and just lost his composure.
Stop lying. Stop lying.
I'm just that good.
Stop lying.
I'm that good. It's exactly what I want. I told him it was cold. I don't know if it's cold or hot over there in New Orleans. But I tell you one thing. They said, oh, you haters. Check this out. We got rid of Lonzo and LeVar. Guess what? I've been here before the Lakers. LeVar ain't going nowhere. Lonzo going to NOLA. But I'll still be here in L.A., so you'll be able to see me.
There you go. Everyone who thinks that, they got rid of the Ball family in L.A. What are you talking about? The guy's got like a $5 million house right down the road. LeVar ain't going anywhere. And LeVar's setting up the arrival of LaMelo in LA with the Clippers. How about that? Guess I wouldn't be the number one pick, but wouldn't that be a hoot? LaMelo in the same building, winning 62 games, leading the Clippers along with Kawhi to championships. Could happen. Could happen.
Should happen.
You look stunned. You look stunned.
Should happen. No, I the brilliance of the concept of LaVar, the same way he engineered Lonzo to the Lakers and then engineered Lonzo to the Pelicans, is going to engineer LaMelo to the Clippers. This is brilliant.
The grand plan, my friend. He always knows what's going on. Christy, let's get to number one. We'll get to the controversial part of the LaVar conversation in like 15 minutes. Number one.
Number one.
Hi, Candy. How do they build a roster here? So Anthony Davis is going to be a Laker. How do they build a roster here? Now, you threw out a great nugget at the beginning of the show, but of course you got it from Chad Lowe. They featured it earlier on ESPN. Did the Lakers completely screw up the timing of this deal? Was their hand forced by the Pelicans? Because there's a really important note that came down about the consummation of this deal. July 6th or July 30th? What's the difference?
Zach Lowe has the details on how much money the Lakers will have available in cap space based on when the deal is actually finalized. Okay, so here's what we're talking about with the Lakers. If this deal closes on July 6th, and that's what the Pelicans want, then the Lakers will not have max money to offer to that third star that everyone is talking about bringing in. They'll have a little more than $23 million in cap space available. The Lakers want to postpone the closing until July 30th, at which point, whoever they pick number four on New Orleans' behalf will be trade eligible, and the Lakers can maintain their current level of space. That is about $8 million more than what they would have if the deal gets done on July 6th. I'm quoting straight from Zach Lowe's great article on ESPN.com earlier today. Woj is reporting the deal will be done on the 6th. The Lakers will not have the cap space. So then Fred Rogan's plan of a big two and a bunch of number four and fives is pretty much the only choice they're going to have. Because coming in for $8 or $9 million less just to be number three.
I don't want to suggest the Lakers didn't know about this difference between July 30th and July 6th. I think you're suggesting that's not the case. But if they're waking up to this and they're like, wait a second, we do need that $9 million extra for the max player, would you hold the Pelicans' feet to the fire and say we're backing out of the deal unless it's July 30th? Because I would.
I think we have who's holding whom's feet to the fire backward here. If I'm the Pelicans and I know that the Lakers need this money, and to fill in, I wasn't suggesting anyone was or wasn't aware of it. If you know that the Lakers want to put that third star in there, who really has the leverage in the end? Who really has the leverage? I think it's the Pelicans. I think it's the Pelicans who can go back to the Lakers and say, well, if you don't want to do the deal on the 6th, if you want to wait till the 30th, sure. But we're going to have to talk about Kuzma. But we're going to have to talk about one of those pick swaps becoming hard cash or another pick. Not hard cash, but another pick. So why wouldn't you have the Pelicans?
All right, we continue to talk about roster building. We got a bunch of cheap options for the Lakers. We'll go through those. But if they were to get a big three, and that means that someone would probably have to take a discount, rough discount, right, down to $23 million, who do they have the best chance at? Jimmy Butler, Kemba Walker, Kyrie Irving, or could they actually get Kawhi to take the discount to play with AD and LeBron?
The Big 5 at 5 is brought to you by Battle Born Injury Lawyers. Call them today for a free consultation at 702-570-9000. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
It's off to Leonard, defended by Simmons. Is this the dagger?
Minutes ago, Cofield and Company here on a Monday, talking Lakers roster building. Anthony Davis in the fold. Most of the team is now gone. You believe that the July 6th thing is going to hold. They'll have $23 million instead of $32 million for a max player. All right, so what does that mean? As I go through the list, Kawhi, no shot.
No chance. At that money. We're being clear about
At that money, yeah. Right. That's it. This is what we have to deal with. If they don't have max money, or at least close to it, depending on who it is, but they don't have $32 million, they've got $23 million for that extra player. Kawhi, no. Jimmy Butler?
Nope.
Kyrie Irving?
Not given the history, and I don't think Kyrie is taking a dollar less than the max right now, especially with the history with his knee.
Kemba Walker.
Now we're getting into the range where something could be interesting, because Kemba Walker already talked about the fact that he might be willing to take less in the right situation.
Mm-hmm.
Ray said when he was talking about staying in Charlotte that he might be willing to take less than the max. Well, there's a real question. Will you take less than the max to go become a guy who might be a pretty solid third player fit? I know his usage rate's going to be a little high to be playing alongside two guys with pretty high usage rates in LeBron and AD, but that becomes the first interesting name on your list.
Okay. Beyond that, how do they put a team together? And especially if they use, we had Fred Rogan on from NBC in LA, legendary TV guy doing radio on AM 570. He was saying, you know what, go with the big two. Screw the big three. Go with the big two, Anthony Davis, LeBron, and then fill in with a bunch of nice pieces. Is that viable?
If you truly believe the West is wide open, yes, it's viable. Does it put you ahead of the pack? Does it make you 3-1 NBA favorites? No. Not even close. I love what Fred said about surrounding them with shooters, because LeBron needs space. We all know that. Anthony Davis in a pick-and-roll situation where he has the sort of space that LeBron creates with the way you have to defend him, and then you're going to post three shooters around the edges? Yeah, that's great. But who are those shooters? I felt like the idea of a guy like a J.J. Redick makes a lot of sense. It was only a couple of years ago that it took $18 million on a one-year contract to get J.J. Redick.
Well, he made what last year? 12.5? So 12.5 last year. Here's a list, according to CBS Sports, of guys that the Lakers could get on the relative cheap. Bogdanovich from the Pacers, Redick, Terrence Ross, Marcus Morris, Darren Collison. I know you're going to love the next one. Your guy on the Clippers, Pat Beverly.
Pat Bev's my guy. And I actually, that's a really good fit.
Boy, this list is not star-studded. There are a lot of, I mean, this is what they're going to have to do. They're going to have to do, and it actually worked for the Raptors. The Raptors had, you know, Kawhi and then some damn good players around them, but their bench was deep and they had a lot of dudes with championship experience and they all seemed to contribute in some form or fashion. They were in the finals. One of those guys was Danny Green. Boy, Rodney Hood again with LeBron? Not sure about that one. Reggie Bullock again, because they never really got anything out of Reggie Bullock because of the injury. Seth Curry?
No.
Would Cousins go for another cheap deal with the Lakers with the promise that something bigger would be coming down the road? And DeMarcus Cousins to me is completely fascinating because he's going to obviously be a lot closer to 100% at the beginning of next season. I mean, he was dragging his leg. Couldn't play defense. Is that a guy you want? Do you want to put Davis and Cousins back together again?
I actually didn't mind the idea of what AD and Cousins were looking like in New Orleans before Boogie blew out. But I don't know, man. I don't think those three players together are a really good fit. Like, you talk about spacing, shooting. Boogie doesn't give you any of that.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's the right fit for the Lakers. If you want to bring him off the bench as a second unit guy, but he's not going to do that again the way he just did for Golden State.
Certainly not great on the pick and roll or pick and pop.
Oh, goodness,
on defense.
No.
Other names include Avery Bradley, Mirotić, Jeremy Lamb, Trevor Ariza could be interesting. I'll take several of these guys over what they did last offseason. Just don't do what you did, Lakers, last offseason where it was the Carney show, you know, a bunch of players coming out of the little Volkswagen. So everyone had a problem.
And this is why I'm talking about the picks, because when you sign the contracts you did, when you bring in these guys who can't shoot, who don't fit, let's say you sign a guy to a couple-year contract and you want to be able to shed that money, your asset to be able to move that money to get yourself a max spot are the picks that you just sent to New Orleans for Anthony Davis. Not all of them. You only need one or two.
Right.
But if you need to move a contract, what if you're the Lakers right now and you need to move money, your option is Kyle Kuzma. That's it. The guy you just fought to hang on to in the trade with the Pelicans, the best player left on your roster who's not one of the big two.
Parade was today. Lakers would like to have a parade down the road. Toronto parade was today. Kawhi did an interview on whatever float he was on or bus that he was on, and it was, Chrissy, you can fire this. It was pretty much classic Kawhi.
I want to ask you this, Kawhi. Your impression of the city of Toronto.
It's amazing. Everybody's out. I don't believe nobody went into work today. All right, I got the first little hours of their day off, but look at it. It's crazy.
That was good. That was good. He had a Bored Man Gets Paid t-shirt. Bored. B-O-A-R-D. Not bored. He does seem bored quite often. Bored Man Gets Paid. They actually stopped in front of a crowd at one point, and the crowd's chanting at him. And I think they were chanting one more year, and Kyle Lowry gets up behind him. He's like, one more year? Throw up the five! Throw up the five! What's it, the four? You have to throw up the four for Shaq. Throw up the five! Lowry throws up the five. Good chance. Five more years. It could happen. They have the most money. They have the most money. Raptors could keep them. God, I'm hoping it happens. And if not, Clippers.
I love.
Sorry, Knicks. You're not getting them.
No, I know that.
Or Nets. I'll take them on the Nets, even though I'm not really a Nets fan anymore.
I loved, absolutely loved, first of all, the Bored Man Gets Paid shirts. New Balance. Could there be anything more perfect for Kawhi than New Balance? Yeah. $39.95 a shirt, sold out immediately. $40 t-shirts. Your boy LeVar would be so proud of being able to print four words on a t-shirt and sell it for $40. LeVar couldn't pull that off. He only has three letters on the shirt, and he's trying to sell them for more than $40. I love the fact that Kawhi Leonard got out there, and it wasn't even an hour after the championship was done. He's talking to Scott Van Pelt, and he talked about how he was happy for the Raptors, that this could really help them in the future. He slipped right from the beginning, talking about the Raptors as they, right after it was over.
Yeah.
He's already referring to he's gone.
He's there with them.
He's gone.
No. He closed things out at the parade by getting up on stage, and he recognizes that his laugh is a little bit goofy. I'm not sure what he was trying here, but he tried.
Enjoy this moment, and have fun with it.
Come on, Kawhi, do it right.
What it do, baby?
All right. Do we even address the guy with the what it do, baby? Come on now. What do you think? Chrissy was going to let Kawhi get off with freaking doing a fake laugh of his weird laugh? No. We put his real laugh in there. Good job. Very good job. All right, on the way back, grab bag. We do have to get to LeVar Ball. Outraging some people. I think it's faux outrage. I also think that someone on First Take this morning took a LeVar Ball comment, and they sexualized it.
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews.
It's Cofield and Company's...
You want it? Check it out.
Grab bag.
Smells like fish in here.
Hey, don't touch that. That's nothing to play with, man.
On ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
So, my guy LeVar Ball makes an appearance today on First Take. You always know it's going to be explosive. Stephen A., Max. And if you've noticed, Molly has been more vocal. Last week, Chrissy, why are you shaking your head? Are you anti-Molly?
This entire story is... it's garbage.
Okay. Well, let's figure out what the garbage part is. First, Molly has been more vocal on the show. Last week, she was getting into it with Max Kellerman. She threw out the line about the Knicks versus the Nets. In terms of free agent destination, Max was trying to pitch the Nets as a strong spot in Brooklyn. And Molly Karam is like, it's the Mecca. It's MSG. It's the Mecca. And Max came back with, the Mecca of what? They never win. Stop with that. So she's been kind of puffing out her chest, getting involved more, right? So she tries to drop a question here on LeVar Ball, and someone misunderstands LeVar's comment.
LeVar, can I switch gears with you? Because I have a question
you
here.
You can switch gears with me anytime.
Okay. Let's stay focused here. All right. Can you please explain to me what the biggest...
Okay. Chrissy, you're sighing. What's the problem?
I think...
Who's in the wrong there?
I think Molly and Stephen A. are in the wrong there in assuming that this comment was sexual in nature in any way, shape, or form. All he was going from a very intense back and forth with Stephen A, and she wanted to switch gears, and he was not, it's not like he was coming on to her or anything. He was just trying to kind of slight like Stephen A in the process in a joking fashion. There was nothing inappropriate about it. And when she said, let's stay focused, and Stephen A tried to kind of jump in, it really made her lose her question.
Of course.
Completely. She lost her train of thought.
I thought she lost her train of thought by pausing for a second. Then Stephen A is like, ugh, like that was disgusting. He said, you can change gears anytime. If he had said, yeah, grab my gear shift anytime and we'll change. Yeah. All right. That's clearly, you know, hey, grab my wiener. The man is married with a woman who's off a stroke. Relax. So ESPN immediately comes out and they issued a statement. LeVar Ball's comment to Molly Karam Rose, because she's married to Jalen Rose, was completely inappropriate. And we made him aware of that. Chrissy just said it was not inappropriate. When I saw it, I was like, what are you talking about? LeVar's people said LeVar was asked if he wanted to switch gears. In his mind, switching gears was changing the subject anytime. Yes, you can switch gears with me anytime. At no time was that intended or meant to be sexual in nature. So who sexualized the comment?
I believe that she did. I believe.
And Stephen A didn't help the situation by, you know, guffawing and sighing in the background.
He had just lost the battle that he had gone up against LeVar in. So
we live in a world, man. Everyone is looking to make something out of everything.
It's horrifying. And I'm interested in Candy's take, because he has been very, very quiet in this entire...
Can you judge objectively? LeVar Ball can be a moron at times. I love the man. I told him, you know, face-to-face on the phone. You know, I wish he was my dad. Happy Father's Day, Tom, back in New Jersey. But I like LeVar Ball, so I'm not objective. I'll admit that. You sound like you could have nothing to do with LeVar and you'd be fine. So on this situation, was he trying to be a smartass and make a sexual comment?
Taking the first part of the statement there, I'm not one of those guys who's like, I can't stand LeVar. No, look, good for him. Good for him. There's a sideshow there. He's turned it into money. It's the American dream. Good for him. His kids seem to be dealing with it well enough. Like, Lonzo seems to be managing it well enough at this point. You know, the kids are out there trying to make a success of themselves. There are plenty of reasons where I'm not thrilled with LeVar. I know the ref that he got into it with at that AAU tournament a couple years ago. She is a woman who doesn't deserve a moment of what she got from...
Is he a sexist?
...from LeVar. I
don't know. Because he made a comment to... Now I'm blanking on Fox... on Colin's co-host. Christine Leahy. Made a comment to her, stay in your lane. Right? So people took that as, oh, it's a woman talking sports. Here's the problem that's arising, and we see it at least once or twice a week. If we're all going to be in conversations about sports, women included, you can't look for stuff that's potentially insulting all the time. Everything doesn't have some hidden meaning. Everything doesn't have some double entendre. If you're going to pull out that crutch all the time, then it makes it impossible to have a free-flowing conversation.
And the true meaning of equality, or everybody being treated the same and their opinions being valued on the same level, would be to say...
No. You know what we're going to do? We'll just tiptoe around you.
It's
and we're going to change the show because of Chrissy.
That would be terrible. And I think that even Stephen A. kind of jumping in to protect her, if he thought this was a sexual comment, is saying she can't handle herself. And that's insulting.
So you're actually more angry at Stephen A.
I
for
am.
Trying to be all paternalistic.
And I will say that LeVar knows this woman's husband. I don't think that he would make a statement like that on television at all, period. I think it was literally, I am welcoming the change. I am cool. I can, you know, adapt on the fly. That's what I took from it.
The issue to me is nothing about what he actually said. It's the tone that everyone inferred into it. It is the fact that he said something that in culture in general, that comment, the idea of you can do blank with me anytime. That in general, that comment is taken sexually. It's been used in movies and TV and right. So on forever. So it was left open. That to me is the real issue. The second part that we don't know about, and this is really what I want to know, we haven't heard from Molly, right? How did Molly feel about it? She joked about, oh, well, if someone's calling HR, it's me, right?
Yeah. Actually, would you be livid, Chrissy, if the company spoke for you in a situation like this before you got to speak?
I think that would be very insulting. I would, because it would really put my relationship with not only LeVar, but the rest of the Ball family in jeopardy before I even got to voice my opinion about
right.
how I felt. They can't, I'm not like a mood ring. They can't just look at me and say, uh-oh, you know, she's burning up. I would have just rolled with it, and I think it's terrible. I mean, if I had said, oh, you could play a Rector set with me all day, I don't think people would take a sexual tone from that. Okay, wait, maybe I shouldn't have chosen a Rector set.
Right.
But if I said...
You slipped again, Chrissy.
You could drive around with me all day.
Ugh. Ugh.
Okay, I
it
failed.
Got gross. Why'd you do that?
I failed with the first, but I tried to drive home the point with the second.
We get it. You made some good points there. Very good points. Let's close on a couple of things.
There,
thank you in the grab bag. On the parade today, or during the parade today, or around the parade today, we talked about Kawhi Leonard getting up there, and I love what you did with this bite. This is great. Kawhi Leonard speaking to the crowd, tries to mock on his own laugh by doing a fake laugh, but both Chrissy and I are like, no, you're going to do your laugh.
Enjoy this moment, and have fun with it. Aha, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah! What it do, baby?
Party host. Sounds like a cool guy. But yeah, the laugh is in there. The laugh is in there. The worst thing, and there's a lot of social media out. Toronto's crazy. There were 1.5-2 million people at this parade going completely nuts. There was a negative incident, but we'll look into that after the show. But there was actually, you know, there's a fake Clay who gets people all the time in the Bay Area, which he doesn't really look like Clay Thompson. He's also not 6'7". He's not small. There was a fake Kawhi today, and people were rushing this kid. He was like 5'11". Like, isn't that the first giveaway? If a basketball player is like in excess of 6'6", they're gigantic. Small guy with cornrows, and you're like, Kawhi, autograph! It's not him! It's not him.
Take the Instagram shot from the right angle. You can tell everybody it was.
Yeah, well.
It's all that really matters in the end here.
One more time in the back.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
So we will have Candy's rant. You ranted a lot today. I think your best rant, because I didn't expect it, was on the U.S. Open. Man, you killed Fox, and then you killed the freaking course, saying the course was way too easy. We actually didn't follow up on Tiger Woods. So Tiger enters the tournament like 10, 12 to 1. He finishes 2-under, but he really made a rush just to get inside of even. He didn't compete the entire tournament. We got the British Open coming up. He's 11 to 1. Those are terrible odds, right? 11 to 1.
it's not a number I want to play, but does it feel about right for where Tiger is right now? I actually think it does. I think that feels just about right. Like, you're not putting him up there with the absolute favorites, but you just saw him win the Masters, so how do you not put him at a number that's enticing?
I saw a good take from Michael Collins, you know, dude with the beard who just freaking ravaged Kuchar a couple of weeks ago, former caddy. He said if the temperature is below 60, there's just no way for Tiger's body to get right and stay right, and he's talking about some of the weather at Pebble Beach. Expect the same issues when we get to Northern Ireland, where it's probably going to be even worse. He goes, I'm as spoiled as everyone else after the Masters, but being realistic, this is the new Tiger that we have to accept. That weather-wise, it might kill him, kill his chances. And 11-1, he didn't say this, but I'm saying it is terrible.
The interesting part to me is that both Bob Herrig, who's been covering the tour for 2 decades, and Michael Collins both have this take that is unattributed, that didn't come from Tiger directly, but this take about Tiger's health, right? It's the same take. Someone out there is pushing this take. I don't know if it's someone around Tiger. I don't know if it's an apologist. Someone around there is making sure we know that it's really hard for Tiger to get loose in these conditions, because no one was talking about the weather at Augusta. Right? We didn't hear a word about how the weather was at Augusta. I remember back when I was at Augusta 14 years ago watching Tiger win in horrendous weather before his back was bad. But no one's talking about it then. We're talking about it now. And we're almost, what, we're guarding against what's going to happen at the British. Okay.
Look at you, Mr. Cynical all day. Mr. Cynical. This is the new Tiger. He's old. Well, I had a couple people when they saw Tiger walking off the course and he took his hat off. They're like, all right, come on. When are you going to shave that?
Come home.
Yeah.
Got to come home.
It actually motivated me. God, I'm bald. These videos, I am horribly bald. I went super short. I think I'm going to... My head's ugly, though.
No, listen, man. You're not doing the Tiger. No, far from it right now.
All the good stuff will be up on lvsportsnetwork.com, and check out ESPN Las Vegas on Twitter.